and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag!
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Chastain. Chastain's already lost the lead. He's about to lose second. Now Chastain right on the back bumper of A.J. Allmendinger. Alex Bowman stays way outside of them too. Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final corner for the final time.
Ross Chastain punts Alex Bowman into A.J. Allmendinger. He's got the lead coming out of turn 20. Now he's flat on the gas. Ross Chastain is going to get his first NASCAR Cup Series win. His 121st start. Twice the bridesmaid the past 2 weeks. Finally, Ross Chastain catches the bouquet.
A watermelon man gets to party here in a wild finish here at Circuit of the Americas. It came down to the last 1,000 feet to decide who was going to win this one.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you saw it on Twitter yesterday, we made the announcement that we have a new affiliate, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. It's a sister station, Cromwell Media Station, 2102.5 The Game from Nashville. So hello to everybody listening in Mattoon, Illinois, and really excited to have you on board and be able to talk some NASCAR racing. You will hear a little bit of a Nashville flavor on this show, but you'll hear the coverage of the sport as a whole, both NASCAR, IndyCar, everything in the motor racing world. We got a huge show. You just heard the final lap call there from the Performance Racing Network. And we're going to be joined by the race winner, Ross Chastain. We're going to be joined by the winning car owner, Justin Marks, and also going to have Kevin Harvick join us over the next hour. So a loaded show with two drivers and a car owner. And that's pretty exciting. But Ross Chastain becomes the third driver this year to get his first win in the NASCAR Cup Series, joining Austin Cindric and Chase Briscoe. And you knew that it was coming. I mean, he had that string of runner-up finishes and a third. And, I mean, he's been in the top three just about every week outside of Daytona. Finally breaks through and get his win. The Watermelon Man smashes the watermelon. And he caught up with Regan Smith of Fox Sports when getting out of the race car.
Ross Chastain has been so close this year to getting that first career win. Ross, today you couldn't be denied. You had to fend him off at the end. You go from first to third. There was beating. There was banging. What was that last lap like, and what is this first win like?
I don't know, Regan. That's insane. To go up against some of the best with AJ. I mean, I know he's going to be upset with me, but we race hard, both of us, and he owes me one, but when it comes to a cup win, man, I can't let that go down without a fight. So Justin Marks, Trackhouse, Onyx Holmes, iFly, Advent Health, The Moose, a million Moose members, they better be celebrating tonight all across the country and the world. Phil Surgeon, man, he is so good. People don't know how good this group is. I can't believe Justin Marks hired me to drive this car, Regan.
You lost control of that final restart. You get a good restart on the outside, which nobody had done. What did you have to do to make that happen? And how's that watermelon tasting right now?
It's never tasted sweeter, I got to tell you. I don't know. I don't know how we got back by. I was so worried about AJ on the second to last restart that I let Tyler drive right by both of us. And AJ's so good. I've learned so much from him. And it was like, how do you go beat the guy? He taught me so much. And I've learned so much from so many people from 417 Speedway back home with my dad. I was thinking about him those late restarts. My dad used to make me race on old tires. And back then, if I raced on old tires, I was not going to win. It was in my head before I even started. And it crossed my mind, like, we're not going to win. We're on old tires. But I couldn't think that way. I thought neutral. Chevrolet, everything they do for me, gave me the tools to try to go execute. And we did it.
Now, listen, it got aggressive. And Chastain made a move. He went for it, and he punted A.J. Allmendinger out of the way. There's no other way to put it. That's what it was. He wrecked him. He was going for his first win. And in just about any interview he's done, he has said, hey, I stand by what I did. I mean, it's part of it now. It's the playoff system. You have to be aggressive to go after these wins, and that's exactly what he did. And there are going to be some people that – aren't about it and don't believe in doing it that way. And then there's some people that you're going to go, hey, that's racing. You know, Dale Earnhardt did it a lot. You've seen it. Jeff Gordon, Kurt Busch, Dale Jr., Kyle Busch, they've all done it. And so it just has to be just kind of where you are. But I thought the comments of AJ Allmendinger, Jamie Little caught up with him after the race. He ends up finishing 33rd. I thought they were very interesting on the move.
What is your take on what happened between you and Ross Chastain there at the end?
I mean, at the end of the day, we all got to look at ourselves in the mirror. And if you're okay with it, you're okay with it. Each person's different. So more than anything, proud of Collard Racing. The action industry Chevy was so fast. I think if we could have had just a long run, nobody was going to touch us. So pit stops are great. Everybody at Collard Racing, all the men and women, you know, it's just a lot of sleepless nights for them right now, trying to just get these cars to the next race. So I was doing everything I could to try to sweep the weekend for them. We were that close. So, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, each person's got to make the move that they're comfortable with, and that's fine. So we'll, at the end of the day, we know we had a shot to win the race. It's tough to win a cup race. So when you put yourself in a position to legitimately run up front all day and have a shot to win it, it's a pretty great day. Unfortunately, just we needed about two more corners.
You got to look at yourself in the mirror. And listen, Ross admitted AJ owes him one now. So, you know, that's what it is. And he almost took out Alex Bowman in the process, who ends up coming home second. Alex Bowman also caught up with Jamie Little of Fox Sports.
And it was quite a battle between Ross Chastain and Alex Bowman. And Alex, you ran there in the top 10 all day, but you almost snuck that one away. What's your takeaway from that last couple of laps there in battling for the win?
Yeah, for sure. Just we had a really fast Ally Camaro. I've really been trying to do a better job as a race car driver at these road courses. And I felt like from, you know, where we started the weekend, I accomplished that. So proud of Greg and all the guys. Hate that we didn't come away with the win, but happy for Ross getting his first win. It's been a crap weekend, so I'm ready to get home and see the dogs and move on to next weekend. Glad to come away with a second place finish.
So even though he finishes second, you can tell he's a little irritated, but hey, you'll take the runner-up finish for sure. They went into the post-race press conference. Justin Marks, who again is going to join us here in a little bit at the bottom of the hour, and also Ross Chastain before that. But Marks was asked about his driver's move. He's a race car driver himself. He gave an interesting answer, and then Chastain chimed in.
I struggle to find what's too much. I mean, we today was not different than how you see so many of these races end. They're so hard to win, and it's just sort of like the way people think about racing each other and attacking the racetrack. It changes throughout the race, and these races almost always have late race restarts, and there's so much on the line that you just get to a point where it's like, all right, who's just wants it the most? And NASCAR's, you know, proven over the last four decades that they're going to let these races play out like they may, and they're going to let it self-police. And these guys all wanted it. There's always contact at the end of these races. I honestly am saying today is just not that much different than what you see a lot of times on green white checkers at these racetracks. I mean, you take that white flag, and it's like, who wants it the most? Who wants it the most? And, you know, Ross got beat up a little bit today, too. I want to make sure people remember. I mean, Ross got used up a little bit today a couple times. And when it comes, you know, when the money's on the line and a playoff spot's on the table, you do what you got to do. I mean, that's my opinion.
Ross, your take?
I mean, I didn't draw it up that way in my head, but, yeah, I did what I did. I stand by it.
So you have to figure that Chastain probably has one coming. He's on AJ's list to maybe get some payback. But, you know, I look at it as it is just, do I like it? No. Do I think that I would rather see, you know, some beating and banging and hard racing, but do I want to see a guy get wrecked? No, I don't. But I understand why it happens now, because this is the state of the sport. This is where it's at. And Chastain was going for the first win, and now he's in the playoffs. And so that's exactly what this was. Chastain is the winner. Alex Bowman second. Christopher Bell comes home third. Chase Elliott fourth. Tyler Reddick with another strong finish in fifth. Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex Jr., Austin Cindric, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, rounding out the top 10. Kevin Harvick, William Byron, Michael McDowell, Brad Keselowski, Justin Haley, Todd Gilliland, Harrison Burton, Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, Ty Dillon, your top 20. And as I mentioned, AJ Allmendinger, who was going for the win, finishes 33rd. So that is the running order there. And again, you know, it's one of them racing deals. That is really the best way to put it. Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. It is all presented by the Bristol Motor Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairground Speedway. And, you know, I mention the Bristol Motor Speedway because it's coming. And it's time to get down and dirty because the dirt race is back and it's going to be at night. NASCAR on the dirt, Bristol, baby. Cannot wait. Saturday, April 16th is a full day of practice and qualifying. The Pendy's Truck Race on the dirt. Tickets starting at just $35. Kids will get in free for that. And then Easter Sunday, April 17th, the dirt. The night race sideways is the only way to get down and dirty, and you saw it last year. You can experience it this year as it returns, as Bristol returns to NASCAR to its roots back on the dirt. Kids 12 and under are just $10, and if you're older than dirt, you belong at Bristol. Just go to bristolmotorspeedway.com, or you can call 866-415-4158. I've grown up going to the Bristol Motor Speedway, and I plan to go back to watch these cars on the dirt. 866-415-4158. It's Bristol, baby. Stick around. Ross Chastain, the winner of the race at COTA, a first-time Cup Series winner. He joins us next here on Chasing Checkers.
If you missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, and again welcoming 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, as a part of the family. You can follow us on Twitter at @Chasing_Checkers. It's all presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Fairground Speedway, and Bristol Motor Speedway. Get down and dirty April 16th and 17th at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City Dirt Race. For more information and to purchase tickets, just head to bristolmotorspeedway.com. Chase McCabe with you as always. I had the chance to talk to my next guest on the morning of the Daytona 500, standing outside of his hauler, and it was a wild Daytona 500, obviously. But little did we know at the time that after that, you'd have a streak of top three finishes for Ross Chastain, including getting his first win at COTA last weekend. I know it has been a whirlwind of a week for you, but congratulations, Ross. You are now a winner in the Cup Series.
Man, thank you. Yeah, it's been an incredible week, but I got to back up to Daytona. I really wish you would have told me not finish last in the Daytona 500. That would have been a plus there. We could have seen the future and not raced in stage one. That would have been a little bit smarter decision instead of going out and finishing last.
Well, I was going to try and skip that part, but you know, it has worked out since then, Ross, because you look at your string of finishes where you had a third and 2 seconds and then the win at COTA. And I think the thing that really stands out to me that's the most impressive, outside of Atlanta where you started seventh, you've started mid-pack. So what does that say about the cars and your team to be able to adjust on that thing to get you back up to the front?
Well, it all ties back to California at Auto Club. I went out and practiced and never completed a lap and destroyed a race car and threw all really, really hard. And if I would have just taken my time getting up to speed, that could have been avoided. So practice and qualifying has been a slow progression for us. Some weeks we're really good in practice, but it just takes me a few laps to get up to speed. And others, like COTA, we were not great. We were really loose. So there and qualifying, I mean, I want to qualify good at the road courses. I know how important that is, and I just could not hustle the car. So, you know, it's so there's been kind of both sides of the coin, but I'm not here to win practice. And with this Gen 7 car, I am working my way up to full speed each week, and I'll do the same at Richmond. You know, it makes it tougher on the team to really see what we have and to make educated guesses because the first run of practice. I'm not really up to speed yet, but you know, I think that'll come with time, with more comfort and more kind of more less variability in our setups unloading and having more confidence. We're not going to hit a rub block or be too low or be too high and you know, wreck. It's just these things, guys are spinning out. We are overcorrecting, and I'm just trying to limit that as much as I can.
We're talking to Ross Chastain of Team Trackhouse, gets the win at COTA. And you know, you mentioned adjusting on the Gen 7 car, this next gen car, and every driver in the garage is in team in the garage is going through the same thing. But for you, I mean, Trackhouse is in its second year of existence. You obviously had the acquisition of Ganassi where you were last year. So at least you have some familiar faces that you're working with. How has that helped the process of knowing that it's not all brand new?
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers are somewhere near 100 of our employees out of 128-ish are former Ganassi employees. And that was a big deal for myself. When Justin Marks came in and this was now his team, there was a lot of questions. And some people took those moments of uncertainty and they ran. You know, they're gone. They're off to other greener pastures, right? Some got out of the sport. Once Chip was gone, that was their reason for staying. And I can't blame them. Like, I cannot. Like, if this was their opportunity, and if they didn't really see the vision with the new car, then that was a good time for them to get out. But for a lot of us, it was like, no, hang on. Justin has a plan. He was telling us that. He was telling us to believe him, to believe in him, to trust him in this process. And he worked through kind of department by department and step by step and person by person with a lot of other people to solidify a large group of what CGR's foundation was and mold that into Trackhouse. My group is primarily the same. One different engineer, one extra mechanic. Other than that, we're one new gas man because Mike Metcalf retired. Like, other than that, we're the same. So, you know, that was key. That was a lot of questions in the offseason about what was going to happen with my group. And I'm really thankful that we stayed together.
Talking to Ross Chastain, a race winner last week at COTA. And I know he loves hearing that. But Justin Marks, your owner that you mentioned, Nashville guy, you know, we talked about Tootsies when we were there in Daytona. But to see Justin have this vision for a race team. He starts it last year with Daniel, now expands to a two-car team. To be the guy to get him and this team their first win, how special is that, knowing that Justin's a racer just like you?
Yeah, just winning. That's the goal. It really, you know, I can believe myself, and I know it's going to be hard to believe when people hear this, but whether it was Daniel or myself, I don't care. We wanted Trackhouse to win. And the start of that race at COTA, Daniel Suarez was going to win that race. It didn't work out. We were there to win, control the second half of the race, where he controlled the first half. We led together. We led 66% of the laps. Like, we led 2/3. So really proud of that. And Daniel's time is coming. It's absolutely been incredible to see how fast our cars are, how well the teams are working together. And whether it was him or I, doesn't matter. It's just Trackhouse. And this is a group that we're pushing each other through true friendship.
And that last lap, I mean, you knew that the guys behind you, Alex is one already, but he's going to be aggressive. AJ is one of these road course ringers, if those even still exist anymore, but he's one of those guys. It's good. So you knew that you were going to have to be aggressive too. And you were, and you're going for your first win. So I don't blame you there, but what was going through your mind coming to the finish, knowing that, hey, I'm going to have to do whatever it takes here?
Yeah. I should have never let him catch up in turn 12. I went too slow and was trying to minimize the risk of crashing or driving off track in turn 12. And I just let him catch up, and then it was on, right? Trading blows. And yeah, really, really fortunate we came out with the last say, because in turn 15, I thought I was headed into the tire barrier, and we barely kept it on track. And from there, we get back to him.
Do you feel like Ross Chastain's with us? Do you feel like that with this new car and, you know, still figuring it out, obviously, but is the competition level maybe higher than it ever has been? Because some of the finishes we've seen this year have been fantastic.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I haven't really been around Cup enough to know. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then going back to the new car with the road course. So I remember talking to Justin about this, that this new car was going to be really, really good for the road courses. And you've raced a lot of different stuff in your career. Did you feel a major difference driving the car around COTA?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, it was dry. So that's a big change from last year at COTA, but yeah. It's just a proper road course car. Everything you would have done to the old car to make it better on road courses has been done. And I was worried it would actually make the racing worse. I thought the brake zones were going to be too short. We're going to be going too fast through the S's and have too much drive off and everybody would just be in a line. And that wasn't the case. I traded the lead with several guys throughout the day. And even when I started 16th, I was able to get in line around 11th or 12th and drive up to 8th on the first run. And that was fun. It was really, really fun. And then racing with Cindric there to the end of stage two to the short pit. That was a heck of a battle and a brawl. So I don't know that we could have put on that kind of show with the old car.
So now that you got the win under your belt and like I said, the string of finishes that you've had, you're in the playoffs. So that takes that pressure off. So what does that mean for you moving forward? Just going after more W's?
Doesn't change anything, really. Doesn't change a thing. It's up to Phil Surgeon and our group at Trackhouse and GM to decide race strategy. I don't have any control over that, but we're just for me behind the wheel. I don't lay over. I don't take a break. We're full prep for Richmond, and as fast as we've been, we'll work on our car, get it driving pretty good in practice, put down the best qualifying lap we can, and try to drive to the front.
Yeah, in Richmond this weekend, the first short track that you guys will go to with the new car. I mean, it feels like you've had the super speedways that you check off and then the intermediates and then the road course. Now you go to a short track. So what's kind of the expectation with the next-gen car as you go to Richmond?
Expect the unexpected. Just these tires are so different. It really has the potential to be a lot of unknowns, and I'm excited for that. And just trying to be the fastest learner is my main goal.
No doubt about it. Ross, congrats once again. It's good to talk to you again. And hey, next time we're at Daytona, I'll make sure to, give you a heads up on things. So
tell me when that crash is going to happen. Okay. I need to know.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do there, but best of luck the rest of the way. And we'll talk again down the road.
All right. Thanks.
Ross Chastain, Cup Series winner, the driver of the number one for Team Trackhouse Racing, and really happy for him because he's just a good kid. I mean, he's very laid back, and he went for it. We talked about it in the top of the show. He went for it. He made the move, and you got to be aggressive if you're going to win in the Cup Series, and he did. And so he now has that first one under his belt. How about this? How about up next? Let's talk to the boss. Let's talk to his car owner. Justin Marks is going to join us, the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing. We will do that here on Chasing Checkers. It is all presented by the Bristol Motor Speedway, Apple Collision Center, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Stick around. More Chasing Checkers next. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And I told you this was a loaded show. And last segment, we talked to the guy that got the win that was driving the car, Ross Chastain, in that Trackhouse number one. Let's talk to his boss. Justin Marks is on the line with us, the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing, getting that first win in the Cup Series. And Justin, we were talking about this before we went on the air, how excited we are here in Nashville, because you call Nashville home. Tootsie's obviously a big sponsor. It's been a big week for you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's things have happened so quickly for our company. We've just scaled quickly and expanded quickly. And one of the things I think that we've done a good job of being able to do is stay true to the fundamental mission and the fundamental opportunity for this team. And that's to bring something new to our sport, bring something new that resonates with as many fans as possible. And we get really good, talented people working for this company. And that obviously starts with the two guys holding the steering wheel. And we've got two incredibly talented drivers, hungry guys. And, we really did something at COTA that made a statement in our sport with both cars. I mean, really between the two of them led, 66% of the laps and obviously got the win with Ross in the one car. And so it was a great day for our company and hopefully just the very, very beginning.
It's you're a race car driver. So, when you finish second, I mean, yeah, that's a good finish when you're looking at points and things like that, but it's still frustrating because you didn't win the race. And what Ross had done the few weeks leading up to COTA was impressive. I mean, he had top three finishes, three straight, including the two runner ups. What was kind of his attitude and your conversations with him? Because I think everybody in the racing world knew just how close you guys really were.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the challenge was in going through those experiences and sort of maintaining our focus on the fundamentals, maintaining our focus on, trying to learn this race car, trying to get better every week, developing the pit crew, communication, all that kind of stuff. So, what's really great about our group is that, no matter kind of how successful those weeks were, there was never any deviation from the plan. It was always just focusing on preparing really meticulously, both teams working well together. And, we didn't think about the win that much. We really didn't. I think if you start thinking about it, you start getting distracted. When's it going to happen? Are we really that close? Was it just good luck or, whatever. So they've done a good job and they continue to do a good job of that. They're digging really, really hard, getting ready for Richmond this weekend. But for a guy like Ross, it just was a constant reminder, that you can do this. Ross is a guy that kind of suffers, from imposter syndrome, right? An element is he asks himself, do I deserve this? Do I belong here? And I've been telling him since day one that you're driving this race car because you are 100% a championship caliber talent. We just got to get this team built around you so you can go show it. And that's what he's been doing.
Talking to Justin Marks, co-owner of Trackhouse Racing, the number one, the number 99. And something Ross told me that I thought was really cool. And you just hit on it with his personality. He said that he didn't care which one of them it was, that if it was him or Daniel, that they just, the culture that you've built there just was a culture of winning and they just wanted to get to victory lane. And, with the performance that both cars had at COTA, Daniel led some laps and obviously Ross wins the race. I mean, that has to make you feel pretty good as the car owner to hear one of your drivers say that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's exactly what we're trying to do is go to the racetrack, not as two race teams, but as one company and trying to figure out how to get Trackhouse into victory lane. And I think we've got two guys that are motivated by that mission and understand it. That's not to say that, it wasn't a hard day for Daniel. I mean, Daniel is obviously the first driver that we had and really helped build this company from day one. I think he had it in his mind that he really wanted to have the opportunity to deliver the first win for the company. And so that was hard for him, but we all know his is coming too. I mean, he's just been mega, mega fast. And I told him that, it's just a couple of years, it's just not going to matter pretty quickly. It doesn't matter right now, but it's not going to matter that quickly who it was that won the first race. I mean, the plan is to win lots of races over the next years ahead of us. And both of these guys are going to be able to do it for us. The one car pulled into victory lane and the 99 pit crew was there and Daniel was there congratulating Ross. And that makes me feel great because it's just proof that what we're building here is working.
You and I got to meet each other at an event for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix here in Nashville, which you're obviously a part of. And we were talking about the new car. It was still in the testing phases. And one comment that you made to me that I remembered, I stored in the back of my head, was how good it was going to be for road courses. You guys obviously won the race, but from your racer's eyes, do you feel like that it has accomplished the things that NASCAR wanted to accomplish when it comes to a road course?
I think it's done that everywhere so far, to be honest with you. I mean, we didn't really know how a car with independent rear suspension and a 5-speed transaxle and all that was going to work at a mile and a half, because the car's straight up and just what we're used to with suspension, we're used to driving these things in yaw and use side force and all that. And we don't have any of that anymore. And so the jury was a little bit out on that for me, but I think it's put on some of the best racing the sport's seen in a really, really long time, ever since Daytona. One of the nice things about the road course is that it's such a high performing car. The brakes are so good. The aero's good, big wheel, that all lends itself to road racing. And so, you know, I thought it was a great race to watch. At the end of the day, I think that no matter what kind of car it is, these guys are going to drive the crap out of them and put on a good show for us. And they did that. So I think in general, the cars performed remarkably well for the sport.
Talking to Justin Marks, the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing. We've seen race car drivers be race car drivers and make aggressive moves. And, you know, I think some of it is feeling out what this car can take and what it can do. But it feels like that intensity level is rising, maybe more so than it has in the last few years. Do you think that, one, that's a good thing? Obviously, the fans like seeing that excitement. But do you see that as well as an owner and a race car driver?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the business that we're in is show business and entertainment. I mean, we need to be putting on good, good shows for the fans. And if that means, you know, some pissed off drivers at the end of it, so be it. And I know that we'll be on the other end of it at some point for sure. I think nowadays, you know, it's sort of always been like this. I mean, Dale Earnhardt ran over Terry Labonte to win the 1999 Food City 500 at Bristol. And it's not necessarily a new thing. But with the playoff system, a win is just so important, especially that first one of the season. So these guys they're racing differently at the end of these races. I mean, they're all being nice for most of the race. And then when it comes down to it, it just sort of who wants it the most, and it ends up getting pretty physical and feelings get hurt, but it's not going away anytime soon. And I'm okay with it because it's a great show for the fans.
Speaking of a great show, and I alluded to this earlier, the Music City Grand Prix here in Nashville last year was awesome. And I know you were racing some in that. The IndyCars was the main event, but you had all the different the GT and different classes that were going on. And was talking to Chris Parker the other day about it. And he, of course, is saying bigger and better. It's going to be even bigger and better than it was last year. But being now a Nashville local and being involved in that event, what was kind of your takeaways and how excited are you for it to be back?
I'm excited for it to be back. I mean, this town lends itself to big events. It's an event city. And to be able to bring something like this that city's never, ever seen before, is pretty exciting. And I love being a part of it. I mean, you know, it was a great event last year and we had a lot of fans and it was a lot of people watched on television. It was a great event for the city, but it was also the first time ever holding it. So it's only going to get better. I mean, we learned a lot last year. We're going to learn more this year. The event's just going to get better year after year after year and just delivering a better and better experience for the fans. But, you know, it's just proof of what Nashville is all about. It's a town that really finds a way to put on compelling, amazing, entertaining events for people. And I do really think it's just going to get better and better and better. Plus the drivers all said that they love it. They love coming to Nashville. They love street racing. And they think besides the Indy 500, this event's going to end up being really one of the crown jewels in the sport.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, as we've mentioned a few times, like you're a Nashville guy now. And whenever I talk about Trackhouse, I call it Nashville's team, which I think is so cool seeing the sport come here with IndyCar, come here with NASCAR, the fairgrounds with SRX and potentially NASCAR again, and now actually having a race team based here. Why was Nashville on your radar to move here and to start Trackhouse?
Well, I mean, fundamentally, Trackhouse is all about doing things differently and building a brand in our sport that transcends the sport of NASCAR and really becoming a culturally relevant, sort of in the entertainment space, a culturally relevant brand. And so that opportunity exists in spades here in Nashville, because obviously it's sort of the it city right now. There's a lot of companies moving to Nashville. We want to have partnerships in entertainment and culture and music, and we're just starting to scratch the surface. And the first real partnership to that end was with Tootsie's and Steve Smith and his group, and being able to take, you know, Lower Broadway to the Daytona 500 was a pretty awesome thing for Trackhouse to be able to do. But being here in Nashville, it allows us to have those opportunities to put together partnerships and sponsorships that are that move the needle in the sport. I mean, heck, Ross almost won that Vegas race with Dolly Parton on the car in the ACM Awards, and that's exactly what we try to do as a company. And Nashville is just, there's no better place to be trying to do that work.
Yeah, for sure. Justin, it's good to talk to you again, and congratulations on the win. And I feel like many more are coming. Good luck with Richmond and the short track this weekend, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Justin Marks, the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing, joining us here on the show, and appreciate that. Pretty cool that we were able to get both Ross and Justin on. Thanks to NASCAR for their assistance with that. But we're not done. Like I said, it's a loaded show. And usually we would talk about Richmond and get you ready for Richmond, but let's just talk to another driver instead. I think that's going to be more fun. The driver of the number four, Stuart Haas Racing Ford, Kevin Harvick, going to join us to talk about Dover coming up in a few weeks, but also the new car and racing from Richmond. We'll do that as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, and the Bristol Motor Speedway.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
And we're rolling right along here on Chasing Checkers. We're on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. It's all presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Bristol Motor Speedway. Get down and dirty April 16th and 17th at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City Dirt Race. For more info and to purchase tickets, just go to bristolmotorspeedway.com. And also the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, jumping on starting this week. So good to have them, as the 118th season of racing is now underway at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And about a month from now, NASCAR will return to the Dover Motor Speedway, of course, a sister track to the Nashville Super Speedway and the Bristol Motor Speedway here in this market. We're excited to talk to somebody that's had a lot of success at the Dover Motor Speedway. He is actually the leader among active drivers in laps led, with about 1,600 in top 10 finishes with 22, and is tied among active drivers for the most Monster Mile wins with 3, joining Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. We say hello to Kevin Harvick. Kevin, how you doing?
Great. Good morning.
Good to have you on again. And like I said, Dover has been kind to you over the years, including a win back in 2020. Why has that been a speedway that you've just been comfortable with?
Well, it's been a racetrack that, you know, was probably one of my worst in the first part of my career, and Rodney and everybody on my team put a lot of effort into, you know, trying to find a car that was comfortable to drive up there. And ever since, you know, I've started at SHR, it's been one of our better racetracks. So really it's just comes down to, you know, what you're comfortable driving up there, because it's just a racetrack that you have to be comfortable in the car for a long time. It has a lot of speed. And you know, just a very physical racetrack as you go through the day. So it's just a car that you have to be comfortable being in for a while, and being able to you know, do what you need to do inside the car and be comfortable doing it is important, and that's what they've done.
You're going through what every driver in that garage, what every team in that garage is going through, and that is slowly figuring out this next gen car. The racing that, you know, the fans have seen, that we've seen, has been fun, but how do you feel like things are going with that? I talked to you just after the Daytona 500 when you were going to California, and that's when things were really going to pick up with learning this thing. So how do you think it's gone thus far?
Yeah, you know, it's gone, you know, as far as the car goes and driving it, you know, I feel pretty good about, you know, where we are with the car. We just had a plethora of mistakes off the racetrack that just kind of put us behind week after week, and in a couple of weeks we've had smooth weeks. We wound up in wrecks at Atlanta and Daytona, but you know, I think everybody's doing a good job with the car, and you know, I think for me as a driver, it's actually gone better than I actually thought it would, just because of the fact that, you know, the cars are actually pretty fun to drive, and the racing's been really good. And so, you know, the learning curve, you know, with everything has been pretty steep. You know, I think for us, it's obviously, you know, you're trying to redirect a lot of thought processes that have been there for a long time. But, you know, I think, you know, our simulator's been pretty good. And I think every week we go, we learn something with that and apply that to the racetrack, and just trying to, you know, evolve with the evolution. And, you know, I think we've done a good job at that part.
One thing that I thought is kind of interesting that I guess I didn't really think about because I don't drive the race car like you guys do on a weekly basis is how the shifter has changed and how the transmission has changed, that you know, you've seen some drivers have some hiccups with that. What has that adjustment been like for you of going to this new type of transmission with this car after moving on from the thing you've been used to your entire career?
Yeah, there's definitely no more H pattern, and third gear is not up. You know, that's the biggest shift that you know, the guys that we've done it for a long time, and still, you know, inside the car, everything is just not second nature. You know, for me, for sure. Like every time you shift, I mean, you're still starting to race and trying to make sure that you think about shifting and think about where your switches are, and you know, there's just a number of things that are different. But really, once you get in the middle of the race, all that stuff, you know, starts to become a little bit easier. And the more we race, the easier all that stuff becomes, and the less I think about it, just because of, you know, you're doing it so often, and we have practice and qualifying and all the things that we're doing right now. So it's you know, there's definitely some thought process that goes into shifting. You know, this week we had some trouble with the shifting, and that's the hard part about this. You know, you don't ever really know what the problem was or if there was a problem 100%, because you're not taking the parts apart and putting them back together in the shop. And so it's hard to analyze, you know, where the problems are sometimes. So we'll work through that and see where all that goes. But, you know, it's definitely week after week, it becomes a little bit better.
We're talking to Kevin Harvick, the driver of the number 4 Stewart Haas Racing Ford, April 29th through May 1st, NASCAR triple header weekend at the Dover Motor Speedway. And that's what we've been talking about with him. Obviously the Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and the ARCA Menards Series will take place at that track. And what's interesting, you look at this portion of the schedule, Kevin, you got the 3 short tracks, including the dirt race at Bristol, then you throw Talladega in there, and then you go to the Monster Mile at Dover. Does this place kind of race like a short track, so to speak, even though it's a mile?
Well, I can tell you that I'm looking forward to getting to that part of the schedule. I know that for sure. You know, I think as you look at Dover, it's going to be interesting with these cars, because you can drive them so hard into the corners, and that obviously changes some things at Dover with, you know, the entries to the corner and, you know, the rises, you know, and then the fall down into the corner. So you either have to let off before that rise, or you have to drive it past that rise. And I believe with these cars, you're going to be, you know, driving the cars into the corner hard. So it's, you know, Dover's it's an aggressive, you have to be aggressive at Dover with the way that you drive the car. Otherwise you don't make enough speed, you know, and I think, you know, with the way the practice is and the way that things go with that, things happen pretty fast, and you got to be able to get out there and get up to speed. So you put a lot of faith in what you do off the racetrack and, you know, the preparation, to be able to go out there and just, you know, start blasting off laps, because that's what you have to do at Dover. If you don't drive the car hard enough, it doesn't feel right anyway. So you have to drive it hard. But I believe you'll be able to, you know, drive the cars in the corner harder, which at Dover is a little bit different, because you have to go down the hill on both ends. So we'll have to see how the car rides. You know, the way that the shocks and things are different. And obviously Dover's a really rough racetrack, and then you have to come out of that. You have to come out of that hole and back up onto the straightaway. So, you know, we all saw California and the way that the limiters bottom out there. So hopefully, you know, as they come up out of the hole there, the limiters, you know, stay disengaged, and we can, you know, figure all that out in 20 minutes. So it'll be an interesting practice session to qualify in, for sure.
Kevin, you mentioned earlier Rodney Childers, your crew chief, and he's been the only crew chief you've had since you've been at Stewart Haas Racing. You guys have this great chemistry. So how fun has it been to go into this unknown with this new car, with him, with somebody that you're so comfortable with, and be able to, you know, be able to figure this thing out together?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's, you know, it's as much of a challenge for everyone else as it is for me, because, you know, it's probably more of a challenge for them, just because, you know, everything is so much different that you work on the car with. There's really no thought process that's the same, other than we're going to go race, you know, as far as what they do. So, you know, I think as we become, comfortable with the trends and common denominators and things that have happened through these first 6 weeks. You know, I think those guys become more comfortable as well. So, you know, I think going into this, you know, we knew that, you know, we were going to have a pretty open mind and approach and you know, break some old trends and habits and thought processes and things as we go through this first part of the year. So, so that's gone fine. And, you know, I think having a group of guys that, you know, on the days where I'm not comfortable and don't really know exactly what the right thing to do is, as far as how much to tell them to change the car and how big that change needs to be, because you don't really understand, you know, exactly how big those changes are with the car. You know, I probably, you know, missed on a couple of those and overshot. And so you have to really think about what you're doing. And to me, that's a little bit refreshing and fun, just because of the fact that you haven't had to think through so much of this stuff in the past like you are now. So it's fun to go through it with those guys and be able to diagnose everything and work on things week after week.
Kevin, we, you know, obviously over the years, just like any sport, you see kind of a new crop of drivers come in and they start to figure this thing out, or they don't, and then they leave. But we've seen three first-time winners this year, including your teammate Chase Briscoe. So we're starting to see that, I hate the phrase changing of the guard, but the new guys come in and start to win some races. With the new car, with this change in the schedule, and now these new drivers coming in, how do you see the sport moving forward in the future with these new drivers as they start to take over here in the next few years?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, you know, as some of us go out and you know, other guys come in, I think obviously our sport is in really good hands. You know, I think as you look at, I guess Chase is probably the exception to the rule. He's, you know, he's been here, this is his second year. And obviously, you know, I think the conversations within our walls were, you know, this is somebody that can be at SHR for a long time and take them forward and do the things that they need to do to be a winning company, you know, from, you know, further than just what the four car has done. So, you know, I think that having that stability with and being able to build upon him and, you know, his deep relationship with Ford and Tony and all the things that it brings to the table, and then him getting to victory lane just solidifies, you know, everybody's thought process and decisions to put him in that. So, you know, I think that's not only great for our sport, but that's great for Stewart Haas Racing, having that, you know, in their back pocket. I think when you look at, you know, I guess we just take Ross for instance. Ross has been around for a while. Tyler Reddick's been around for a while, and you know, I think you know, Austin Cindric obviously won at Daytona, and then he's, you know, he's shown his rookie stripes as he's gone through the next several races with you know, the way that they've run. So, you know, it's going to be one of those years where you have, you know, good weeks, bad weeks, and a lot of things in between. But our sport is very healthy from a young driver standpoint, and you know, will be very healthy as it goes into the future, as long as they all develop some cool personalities for everybody to cheer for.
No doubt about it. Kevin, always appreciate the time. Best of luck coming up at Richmond, but also at Dover, of course, here in about a month as they have their triple header weekend, and appreciate Dover for setting this up, and good to talk to you as always.
All right. Thank you.
Kevin Harvick joining us here talking about Dover, Richmond, all those things. And I enjoy his insight just because he's very honest when it comes to things within this sport and within NASCAR. And so always appreciate twice we've gotten to talk to him this year, which has been good. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. Again, welcome to 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. You will be able to hear this show every Saturday morning at 8. And very excited to be able to bring it to you. If you want to go check out some of our past episodes, you can go to thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. We're back at it next week, Saturday mornings at 8 on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, and Sundays at 8 on ESPN 102.5 The Game.